Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There are two things about Hakimich that we have to keep in mind that we need to separate to continue to have this discussion. Number one is what is aesthetically pleasing in watching basketball, and number two, a sound strategy. I think we'd all agree that the idea of hacking a player, sending him to the free throw line, not just because he's a bad free throw shooter, but with the hope of the other coach taking him out because he's such a force on defense, is not aesthetically pleasing. And if the NBA could legislate hacking players out, and you can do it in a fair way, I'm certainly not against it. But that's for the offseason. For right now, what I do not understand, and I will use a baseball analogy, I could even use some football analogies, is how people are offended by Joe Mazzulla using the Hakimich strategy. Tommy brought it up a few days ago, like, this is Bush League. You even said it, like, it's emasculating was the word you used. Now, I get it, but I also know, like, certain times you got to use strategies that may not be aesthetically pleasing because they benefit you. And the reason that Joe Mazzulla does it is because, A, Mitchell Robinson can't make a free throw, and B, he knows the Celtics are a better team when Mitch isn't on the floor.
That's right.
So I don't understand. It works. So even with the Celtics up big, they were using it, and a lot of Knicks fans were upset. Like, how could you use this up 30? Well, they just blew multiple leads. Yeah. Like, Joe Mazzulla is showing respect to your team by saying, I don't want to risk it again. I'm going to deploy a strategy that's smart. And so help me understand how that part's controversial.
It's not.
I don't understand that.
It's not controversial. It just feels like beat. Just beat us. You don't have to make it uglier by putting Mitchell Robinson on the line, who went 4-12 in the game.
But that's the point.
And so I think what the Knicks fan or the NBA fan who's not a Celtic fan or a Joe Mazzulla fan what they're not getting is that Joe Mazzulla doesn't care.
It
doesn't care what it looks like. If they win by a point, and Mitchell Robinson takes, I don't know, 30 shots in the game, then it's fine.
As long as it works.
As long as it works. They only care about winning. And obviously, Mitchell Robinson is not going to take 30 shots. Maybe free throws he might end up taking if he plays the whole game. But they're gonna lose because they can't score. The Knicks, that is. Because if Mitchell Robinson is on the line, they're not scoring points.
So isn't that a brilliant strategy?
Of course it's a brilliant strategy.
So then what the hell is the problem?
Because it's ugly. It makes you not watch the game and say, man, that was beautiful.
But that's
that was
not
a well-played game.
But that's not Joe Mazzulla's job. And what I would equate it to is this weekend the Mets are going to play the Yankees. And I'll say it right now. I'll say it every day this week, the way you guys have said you should stand around and turn to Juan Soto. I'll say it. I think it would be stupid if the Mets pitched to Aaron Judge. I think it's dumb. I would say, Cody Bellinger, I dare you to beat me.
Right.
Paul Goldschmidt, who I have great respect for, I dare you to beat me. Now, that's ugly. People want to see Aaron Judge hit. And I'll say it again. You're dumb to face Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And I can't understand why managers around baseball aren't following suit. So tell me how that's different.
It's not different.
So then what the hell's the problem?
Because when you pitch around Aaron Judge, it's a respect for Aaron Judge.
Right.
When you hack Mitch, it is you suck at free throws.
But that's his problem.
But it's not a respect thing.
But it's a strategy that's aesthetically displeasing. People want to see a great player hit.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, it's the same. And yet, we're okay with. I think most of us would accept that. So then why is this unacceptable? Well, Go ahead, Tommy.
Because you're not walking Aaron Judge if you're up 10 runs. They did that to embarrass Mitchell Robinson. They did that to get in his head because they're afraid of him defensively. They're trying to take him out of his game. Guys got to sit there and respond to this stuff on social media.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this. We had an argument a year ago in which the Mets didn't pitch around Aaron Judge with the bases loaded in a game they had a big lead in. And he had a grand slam. This may have actually been the moment where Bridges was traded to the Knicks. And I remember the next day we had a discussion on it. I thought it was a fun baseball talk. My opinion was, you know what? You got a big lead. I'm okay going after him. And you actually argued, yeah, but he's such a great player. Why face him?
Mm-hmm.
Give up the extra run to not give up the four runs. So doesn't that contradict the point you're just making?
I don't think it does. I'm just saying it's just lame to do it when you're up 30 points. And I think it's more psychological than at that point it is strategy. I don't think at any moment in that game they could say what they want. I think the Celtics realized they blitzed the Knicks. The Knicks weren't going to come back in that game like they did in game one and game two. The Chuckers came out. They hit all their shots in the beginning. So it was a different vibe.
Okay, so let's
go back.
I think
they were trying to embarrass him and psychologically
let's go to the Let's go to the psychological one, okay? Because that's a fair point. Let's say that's what it was. Isn't that also smart?
Yeah, but I don't have to like it as a Knicks fan.
But it's not about liking
it.
It's about understanding why a strategy is being used. Like, what you've got to do, and this goes back to something we said last week, and I have ideas, y'all have ideas, we have ideas. You got to combat it if you're Tom Thibodeau. You can't whine about it and bitch about it. Mitchell Robinson is a liability.
But there isn't a good combat.
You start him.
Yeah.
I think you start him. I think Josh, I'll give you my answer right now. And we'll get into more details as the show rolls on.
Honestly,
I would start Mitchell Robinson. I would have Josh Hart come off the bench. I'd explain to him, Josh, we still love you. You're still going to play big minutes.
Yep.
And so now, early in quarters, and we talked about this last week, not necessarily starting him, but hey, play Mitch at the beginning of quarters before you're in the bonus. And so make Mazzulla decide, all right, I'm just going to quickly give you four fouls and then send you to the line, which he's not going to do. Versus I get to keep this defensive stalwart on the floor and not have to worry about the hack strategy. Like, instead of whining about it or saying, oh, it's not fair, it's emasculating, or it's this or that, you have to combat it. As long as it's allowed, just like walking a guy in baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could say that's emasculating. You could say the same damn thing.
But I think in baseball, it's viewed as respect. Whereas this is not viewed as respect.
Depends how you want to view it. You don't think it's respectful to say this guy's such a force defensively, we want to try to out-scheme Tibbs and benching him?
Look, you're right, Evan, but the problem is most basketball fans want to watch a playoff game and have it look pretty in some regard. Like, when you put Mitchell Robinson on the line 12 times and it's just brick after brick after brick, it doesn't, like, he has no confidence. The ones he makes by accident. It's not fun watching that kind of basketball game.
But that's his fault.
Of course it's his fault. And by the way, it's a great strategy by Joe Mazzulla. I don't disagree with it. If I was in his shoes, I'd probably do the same thing. And so the only way to combat it, as you're alluding to, is one, just start him so that the fouls don't lead to him being put in positions where he's going to try to score. But two, you just don't play him. You know, but you can't really do that.
And that leads right into what Mazzulla's doing, which goes back to the idea that a part of it is about respect.
Mm-hmm.
A part of it is he's such an impactful player defensively. This is a way to get him off the floor. Now, I got an email. It was actually sent to the Rico B email account, and it was a suggestion to counter the Hakamich strategy.
Okay. Right?
As a fan of the game and someone who respects real basketball, I'm calling the Boston Celtics' repeated use of the Hakamich tactic in their playoff series against the Knicks. Intentionally fouling Mitchell Robinson off the ball, away from the play, just because he struggles at the free throw line, isn't a strategy, it's exploitation.
Mm.
So here's an idea. All right, you ready for this guy's idea?
Go ahead.
If Boston wants to slow the game to a crawl and turn it into a free throw contest, then the Knicks should do the same. Every time Boston crosses half-court line, foul their worst free throw shooter. Even if he shoots 70%, no threes.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
No rhythm, no ball movement, just whistles and free throws. And let's see how long Boston and their fans are willing to tolerate that kind of game. It isn't about free throw percentages, it's about the integrity of the sport. The Celtics' tactic may be legal, but it isn't basketball. It's cynical, it's ugly, and it should be eliminated.
That's true.
So
that's a well-thought-out email, and he's right.
The part about eliminating it, I'm open-minded to that. I'm not going to sit here and argue and say you can't, but that's for the offseason. It's like the tush push. It's like if we were sitting here in the middle of a giant playoff game against the Eagles, whining about the Eagles tush push, saying we got to ban it. Well, you could do that during the offseason. Right now, you got to find a way to stop it. The problem with his strategy is while it does slow the Boston Celtics down and it eliminates them from shooting threes because they're unable to, if you look up and down the Celtic roster, they don't have bad free throw shooters.
No, they don't.
And that's, I guess, part of the beauty of their roster. Like, I'm going through their roster of guys who are consistently in the game.
But it might take them out of their rhythm.
It could.
Which is, by the way, half of what it does for the Knicks.
But you're also going to gain points on them. So Luke Kornet is their worst free throw shooter of anybody who plays consistently. He shoots 70% from the line. Mm. And unfortunately, if you foul him and they foul you, and he's making...
Yeah, but they won't foul you all the time when Mitch isn't in.
No, but this is for when Mitch is in.
Yeah.
Like you're doing it to combat it when Mitch is in.
Well, you should do it when Mitch is not in.
Well, why would you do that?
Two is better than three. Giving up two is better than three.
But even when they're hot, they make three-pointers at a 40% clip.
I understand that.
If you have a 70% free throw shooter, uh-oh, the math is coming, and you're sending him to the line every time, that's not efficient.
Of course, I know it's not efficient.
So you can't do that.
But it's better than being down by, because they're shooting three-pointers to a, I don't know, 50. Well, they shot 50, but earlier in the game, it was like 75%.
Yeah, but if you're giving in on every possession, you're handing them at least a point, potentially two, that's not smart either. Like, I appreciate his idea. That's why I read the email on the air. It's flawed, too.
Of course it is.
Because the Celtics roster is constructed well enough where there isn't someone you can take advantage of.
I don't think that his suggestion was to help the Knicks win the game. I think it was to show the absurdity of what the Boston Celtics are doing.
Right, but if you do that, you're going to lose every possession, and then all of a sudden it's bad for you.
You're losing the game, and it's going to be the worst-rated game in the history of the NBA, forcing the NBA to do something about it.
Not this year, if they're not. So you got to deal with
it
this
year. But they'll do something about it going forward.
But that's not your
problem. By the way, they should. It's just a terrible philosophy. It's a terrible philosophy that a coach can get away with.
I understand that, but next year Mitchell Robinson may not even be on the Knicks, and you may have a roster in which you're fouling Nick Claxton
because he's a terrible free throw shooter, which, by the way, the Celtics did a couple of years ago with a different coach, and I just had to deal with it. I think my reaction was, hit your freaking free throws. Like, I wasn't sitting here whining about it.
Oh, I agree. Mitch, learn how to shoot.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
And I called this
Watch Wembanyama. There's arc on his shot.
Well, not only that, a week ago I said to you, eventually, someone will bring up Rick Barry and say, hey, he's got to do the granny shot that Rick Barry does. Rick Barry's come out in an interview with the New York Post and said, Mitch, if you need my help, I'm here for you. And gave him the strategy on the granny shot. So you knew that was coming. But it's too late for that. You can't do it in the middle of a postseason series.
I mean, why not?
But the
it's better than watching this nonsense.
Hey, but there's a difference between the badness of watching this nonsense, which we all agree is not great, versus it's the smart strategy. So why are we whining about it?
As a Knicks fan, I don't mind the trade-off. I think Mitch brings enough defensively. He's like the best offensive rebounder in the league. So I'll live with this, that he's 30, maybe 40% from the free throw line. The problem with combating it is that Tibbs, we know this, is very rigid, perhaps stubborn. So I don't think he would do anything to, like Tiki's point, to make almost a mockery of the game. So I think the best thing I've heard in the last 5 minutes, I hate to give you credit, is start Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, look, we talked about this last week. I wasn't ready to start him, but I was certainly ready to play him bigger minutes at the beginning of quarters to combat the foul issue.
Right.
But coming off a loss like that, I think this is your moment of your Tom Thibodeau to say, okay, I'm going to do something really different. I'm going to change the starting lineup. And let's face it, their starting lineup, which was a strength all season long, their efficiency in the postseason, especially in this series against the Celtics, has been awful.
Right.
They're being outscored by a lot with this starting five on the floor. So I think this is also the moment and the opportunity for Tom Thibodeau to say, okay, I'm going to change this up. And I think the way you change it up is you go Twin Tower. You go Mitch at the five. You go Cat at the four. You sit Josh Hart. He comes off the bench. And now for the first 6-7 minutes of the game, they can't hack a Mitch. But you have that defensive force on the floor.
Right. It gives you the best of both worlds. But you also now have a better shot of keeping it close early.
Correct.
Because that's been the issue for most of these games. They just get run away from early, and then it's the entire game catching back up.
Yep. No, and
that's exhausting.
And what it comes down to with these big men, because again, I remember dealing it with Nick Claxton a couple years ago. It was a bad scene where he couldn't make a free throw. He had a free throw. He had a game, Sean, I don't know if you remember it or you can look it up. I think he was 0 for 11 from the line. Let that sink in for a second. As bad as Mitch is, and it's going viral with the air ball free throws, Nick Claxton had a home playoff game in which I think he was 0 for 10 or 0 for 11. And it's like, what are you going to do?
That's no bueno.
It was 1 for 11, 2022 versus the Celtics.
1 for 11, Teague.
Wow.
He makes Mitchell Robinson look like Mark Price.
This is the point where I would try to preach the power of positivity and give him a standing ovation, but we're already doing that.
Now you're trying.
Like, it's the biggest ovation when he hits a free throw. So he has the support of the fans. It's just, he's not a good free throw shooter. It's tough.
Nah, but he's gotten worse. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's 30%. It's rough.
Now let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Robbie's in East Brunswick. Hey, Robbie.
How you doing, my friend?
Let
me tell you a couple of things before you hang up on me. Yeah. You know, I know you're not worried about being home, but the Knicks are 1-3 at home. Listen to me. Don't hang up on me. When they won the championship in 1970, they were 4-1 at home. And in 1973, they were 4-1 at home. That's how you win championships.
Robbie, now I do have to hang up on you. And you want to know why? Not to be disrespectful. It's a different world.
Yeah.
And Tiki and I went over this last week, and it's become even more obvious since we had this discussion. Home court in the NBA is dead. 1970 and 1973. And Tiki made a great point that I wasn't even thinking of, that a lot of it was the way you travel then and the way you travel now.
Yep.
And how easier it is and how convenient it is.
Planes, your own plane, meaning team planes. You travel, you stay in the best hotels, you get, I don't know, massage therapy, you got physical trainers, you got everything that's set up. I mean, I stayed in a hotel with, who was in that? I forget who it was. One of the trips I took last year, and a basketball team was there. Like, they had their strength and conditioning coach. They took over the gym. Like, one of the, like, suite levels that had all these massage tables and STEM equipment. I was like, dude, this is just like being at home, and you're on the road. Traveling is not inconvenient anymore for athletes.
And I think that's a big part of why home court advantage in this league is dead. So comparing it to what they did in 70 and 73, it's just, unfortunately, it's irrelevant. Nick's in Oceanside. Good afternoon, Nick.
Evan, Tiki, what's up? Big fan, gentlemen.
Good. What's up?
listen, I you know, I know with everything said, you know, Mitch is a 30% free throw shooter, this, that. He gets to the line, and his body language is putrid. I mean, after that air ball, he was hunched over with his hands behind his head. He's got his shoulder shrugged. That's contagious to the rest of the team. When you're already down 15, 20 points, the guy doesn't even think that he can do it himself.
So what do you do?
Team now,
so what do you do?
I think that,
yeah, you're right about everything you said about his body language. What do you do?
And Evan, you guys are correct. He has to be out there because obviously for offensive rebounding purposes and his defense is needed right now. But you know what? Luke Kornet is still somewhat hurting them on the board when you look at the stats.
Yep. No, that's the problem. That's why I think what you've got to do is muscle through it. Not only do you play him at the beginning of quarters where they really can't employ that hack of strategy, but even when they're doing it, you don't want to give the Celtics an edge and take Mitch off the floor because he's that good.
Right.
And the other thing about the Cat-Mitch dynamic, which we didn't see a lot of during the regular season, mainly because Mitch was hurt for a while, and then Tom Thibodeau was allergic to playing them a lot together, is when they've played together in this postseason, they've been good. The team has been good. So it's also a two-man lineup that works for this Knicks team. I got mental issues, bro. I'm watching an old lottery from last year, and it's getting me anxious.
Why?
Because I'm seeing the logos come up, and it's freaking me out. I got weird issues, man. Like, it's making me nervous. Meanwhile, it's the lottery from last year.
I know. What does that have to do with this year?
It's just the image of the card coming up and the picture. It's just like, ah! I'm a baby. It's freaking me out. Matt's in Northport. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I love everything you're saying. You got to start, Mitch. I like the foul them, too. And I was trying to do the math in my head, and I'm hurting my brain.
I know.
Is 70% of two better than 40% of three?
Right.
I don't know. But here's the thing that I think you kind of touched on with Mitch. It is psychological because, I just pulled up his career numbers. He's a 52% for his career. He actually shot 68% in the regular season. He's lost up there. I think if he would work with Rick Barry in the middle of a playoff series, that would be amazing. But you got to – that's coaching. You got to say, listen, man, if you shoot 60% today, that could be a win for us. You know, you got to get his confidence back. And I agree. You got to have them both out there. You got to start him and play him more minutes.
Let me give you some math right now because the math can be very confusing. And basketball is about math. This series against the Celtics is about math. I brought this up before it started. It's math, math, math. Let me give you some math on the idea of foul Luke Kornet because then the Celtics can't take threes and will slow the game down. You ready for some math?
Let's hear the math.
If five possessions in a row, you foul Luke Kornet and you send him to the line, that means he'd take 10 free throws, right?
Okay.
Five possessions times 10 free throws. He's a 70% free throw shooter. Assume he makes 7 of 10.
Right.
That's 7 points, okay? In those same five possessions, you don't foul, and the Celtics take 5 threes. And if they make 2 of them, which is 40%, which is a damn good number, they've only scored 6 points. Hence, fouling Luke Kornet is not smart compared to actually defending the three. Tommy, you look upset. It's math.
Well, because this sounds
don't
like,
argue with
well,
math.
This sounds like Scott Steiner math. That's what I just heard
it's
there.
It's accurate,
if you're a
though.
Fan. All right.
What did I say that's wrong?
I don't know. It was just a lot of math. It sounded like Scott Steiner cutting a promo.
Five,
I don't know what math you're doing.
There's 5 possessions.
Yeah.
If you foul the Celtics every time, they get 10 free throws, right? Because 2 free throws per possession.
Yeah, you got me.
So that means they take 10 free throws.
Yes.
If Luke Kornet matches his average and makes 7 of them, you've given them 7 points in 5 possessions. If instead of fouling, you play straight up D and they take 3s every time and they make 2 of the 5, which is a 40% clip.
This is why I hate it.
He scored 6 points.
I'm done. I'm looking at the pretty girls in class at this point. Math class. Enough.
Does it not make sense?
It makes
sense. I get it.
Thank you, Tiki.
But.
Sean, did it make sense to you back in the classroom? Because you're doing what typical kids do. You're not saying anything.
No, I'm not, because I like not being exposed as the dumb one on the show. So watching him scribble, no, it didn't make sense to me.
It did or it didn't?
It didn't. Math never makes sense to me.
Intellectually bankrupt.
5 possessions. If you foul them every time, they get 10 free throws. If they take 5 threes, even if they make 2 of them, which is a 40% clip, it's still less than the free throws.
I got a headache, too. It's really easy.
Thank you, Tiki.
It is when you simplify it, but
just
now...
Just think of 5 possessions.
Okay.
5 possessions. And
right.
In scenario 1, they take 5 3-pointers. They only make 2 of them.
That gets you 6 points.
It gets you 6 points. Now, same five possessions.
Scenario two.
They foul Luke Kornet all five times. So he gets 10 free throws. He makes 7 of them.
Then it's way more points. But what if you foul somebody while taking a three?
Well, you're fouling them off the ball.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just assuming that if you're going to play this strategy, which our emailer recommended to combat Hakimich, and you foul the Celtics' worst free throw shooter, who's Luke Kornet making 70% of his shots.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, then
it's not a smart strategy because they'll end up ahead of the game. You will benefit the Celtics. There's no way to combat it by fouling yourself. The only way to combat it is A, Mitch makes his shots, which he hasn't. Or B, you try to play him in ways in which they can't hack him, like at the beginning of quarters.
They can hack him, but they can't hack him and put him on the free throw line.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yes.
Because the only way he goes to the free throw line is if it's a shooting foul or they're in the bonus.
And in order to say, you know what, let's just put them in the bonus so we can get Mitch out, you have to give away 4 free fouls. Are you really doing that if you're Joe Mazzulla?
Right, because then if you're Tibbs, you just take Mitch out and you go play fast to the rim. And then you get fouled and you're on the free throw line automatically. Hell, you don't even have to get fouled. You get fouled, hand checked, right, and all of a sudden you're on the free throw line.
And early in the game and early in quarters, there's also so many players that can have so many fouls before that haunts you with foul trouble later in the game.
That's the other problem. That's why the answer to this right now is to play Mitch.
Really simply. It's
play
really,
him early
it's
really in quarters.
It's really simple what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm surprised that Tibbs hasn't done that.
Because Tibbs...
Jay Wright would.
Tibbs sometimes is so hard-headed with things.
Yeah.
And that's why... And look, I when this was brought up 4 days ago, and a caller brought up and said, hey, I would just start Mitchell Robinson. We talked about it, and I disagreed. I was like, I don't know if I want to change this starting five.
Yeah,
but now we're in the middle of a series.
You're going to miss your scoring. You're going to miss all the things that got you here. It's just going to change the way that you've been. But I know that the double big has been talked about a lot.
And it's worked.
Because it works, and it's disorienting to teams because they're not used to it. When's the last time you had double bigs in the NBA that play as well as both of these two, one on offense, one on defense, do together?
Well, Cat's used to it because he played next to Rudy and they got to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Exactly right.
Rudy Gobert. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And at about 3:40, we address why some Met fans are perturbed with Francisco Lindor. And I got to defend my guy, Dave Sims. Boomer killing him for taking a weekend off in Sacramento? If the guy's going to skip any series this season, and he has every right to. I don't care if it was his dream job or it's his first year here. He's worked a million years in this business. If he's going to take a series off, why not Sacramento against the freaking A's? So Boomer giving Dave Sims crap for taking a series off? Come on now.
Maybe he had something special to do as well.
Well, I was following him on social media. He went. So the Yankees are in Seattle. They're playing a 3-game series against the Mariners. Dave, of course, called Mariner games for a very long time. I think it was like 16 or 17 years. So he went back to Seattle early to spend some time with family and with some friends. But I completely disagree with Boomer on this, making a big deal out of Dave Sims taking a weekend off.
Yeah.
Howie Rose takes like 30% of the season off. And I got no issue with that. I love Howie. Gary Cohen's taking day. Everybody take. Boomer took off on Friday. What are we doing here? Dave can't take off in Sacramento. That's ridiculous.
I guess you just assume that a play-by-play guy works every game, but they don't. So why Boomer should know that, shouldn't he?
I don't know. Given Dave,
and why was he
crap.
So upset? Because of the importance of the series?
I don't know. Was he upset or was he just?
I wouldn't say upset.
Him?
I think he was more just shocked to hear Emmanuel highlights go. I thought this was your dream job, Dave. It's the first year.
His dream job, but he's
but
also
I agree.
He's broadcasted for 100 years.
Also,
he can't take any vacations. He's not allowed.
Also,
come on.
I'm big on this. Give Dave a couple days off. He wants to take a couple more off in August. Get his pipe strong for October. That's it. Give him a couple days off this week and lay off Dave.
I'm with you on
hey
that.
Hey now.
Hey now indeed. And I'm sure tonight's going to be emotional for him personally because he called Mariner games for a very long time.
Yeah, he did.
Here's going to be the real test, Dave. Real test tonight. So Dave, getting to learn Dave as a broadcaster, because from afar I would hear his great calls on home runs and whatnot. I wasn't listening to him all the time during Mariner games. Dave will downplay and low-key the opponent, okay? A lot of broadcasters do this. He does this. He low-keys the opponent. Like, it's a base hit up the middle and the Rays take a 3-1 lead.
You have to kind of do that, though.
Well, what does he do tonight?
You have to do it because otherwise you're loud and screaming and it's exhausting, I can imagine.
Yeah, no, I think there's different strategies, though. Like, John Sterling and Howie, to a degree, too, don't downplay the opponent as much.
Right.
But a lot of broadcasters do. There isn't a right or wrong way. It's kind of your individual preference. But he low-keys the opponent. But does he low-key the Mariners tonight? He was there for a long time, Sean.
It's a good question. And here would be my other question. Video tribute?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely getting a video tribute. Now, Seattle? Of course he is. He was there for a long time.
So I agree. But if you're a Mariner fan, and Dave's a great voice, right? And think about it. You had that great a voice calling games. Is this a boo spot?
No.
No, Jim.
Dave left you for the big bad Yankees?
No.
It's like he turned his back on you.
How are they going to boo him?
Well, during the video tribute. You left us for the Yankees?
They're not booing Dave.
Baseball, everybody hates you when you leave for the Yankees.
You're nuts. They're not going to boo him. I am curious to listen to the broadcast tonight and hear if he like talks about Mariner players with the nicknames. Like, oh, you know, J-Rod does this and J-Rod does that.
Why wouldn't he? Of course he will.
Because
it gives a richer broadcast.
But it's the enemy.
You have local knowledge. It's the opponent.
But you use your knowledge to help make a stronger broadcast.
Right, 100%.
Well, there you go. Either point is, I'm on Dave Sims' side. It's okay to him take a weekend off. And I also think it matters when you take the weekend off. They were playing the Athletics in Sacramento.
They lost one of those games, by the way.
They did. They also scored 175 runs.
That's true. Aaron Judge had 2 home runs in that game they lost.
And how about that grass seating? Boy, didn't have that many people there for the Mets.
I'll tell you this about the A's. They're sneakily a good little team, and they're playing in a minor league ballpark, and if they make the playoffs, which is on the table, because the AL West feels very wide open, can you imagine them playing playoff games in that thing?
Now that's a road trip. Yankees,
this
Sacramento.
Is the second time, right? The Yankees have been in a minor league stadium.
Yeah. Well, their own minor league stadium with the Rays. The Rays thing is so different to me because, and maybe I'm able to separate this and I'm able to just say it is what it is. There was a hurricane that ruined their stadium. Right. They're in the same market. Yes, they're playing in a minor league stadium, but there really weren't any other great alternatives. The A's played in a gigantic baseball stadium. They announced the move to Vegas.
Yep.
Now they're in a city that has nothing to do with Vegas. They're in Sacramento. They're in a minor league ballpark. The whole thing feels just far worse than what the Rays are going through. But either way, check that out. Yankees A's playoff series is going to be fun when they have to go to Sacramento. We'll get to some issues and controversies around the great Francisco Lindor in 5 minutes. But let's get to some of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Edgar on Long Island. How are you, Edgar?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
So what are the chances Tom Thibodeau actually makes a lineup change? I mean, we all remember against the Atlanta Hawks in that playoff series, he stopped going to Alfred as a starter and finally switched up to Derrick Rose. Some people said it might have been a little bit too late. Do you think he might make that choice too late this time to go with the double big lineup? And one last thing, if you take Mitchell Robinson's 40% free throw shooting and you add it up to Jalen Brunson's, 85%, 90%? You get like 120%, and then that gives the Knicks a 100% chance. That gives the Knicks a 95% chance to beat the Celtics in game 4.
Hey, getting fuzzy with math, man. I like it, Edgar. Getting fuzzy with math.
I think what you need to do, Tommy, I don't know how edited it can be, but I think you need to show Tiki and the audience the famous Scott Steiner math promo. Because Edgar's phone call, I think, is based, and what Tommy's point was, is very much based on a wrestling promo from about a decade and a half ago in which Scott Steiner, a professional wrestler, did this whole thing about math, and it was so stupid and over the top, it was hysterical.
Yeah, how he was going to beat Samoa Joe. My 110% is better than your 90%, so I got to pull it up. Hopefully.
Pull it up.
Well, he wouldn't have cursed because it was a wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, there's no curse. I don't think you have to worry about that. But I think we need to explain it to the audience because that was a good one by
Fat asses. Let me pull out now.
To his point about will he make the change? Because there's a difference between Tiki and I and anybody in the audience suggesting a lineup change.
Or even someone inside the organization suggesting a lineup change.
That's right.
Versus him doing it.
Yeah. Elfrid Payton is a great example. So for anyone who forgot, in the 21 series against Atlanta, Elfrid was the starting point guard. And he would start the game. He'd play 5 or 6 minutes. He'd be absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. And then he would come out for Derrick Rose. And we're all screaming, like, what are we doing here? Like, why is Elfrid Payton starting games? And after game 2, remember the Knicks lost game 1. They won game 2 at Madison Square Garden. Going into game 3 against Atlanta, Tibbs finally pulled the plug on him. And not only did he not start, we actually never saw him again.
Wow.
Like, he disappeared from the face of the earth. I'm just kidding. He just didn't play in the series again. I agree with our last caller. I'm very skeptical that Tom Thibodeau makes that change. I think he should. I don't think he will.
I think he's scared about the scoring. Scored what he's going to miss in scoring by not having Josh Hart out there. But it's not like Josh Hart is going to make a difference in how the ball is. I mean, him not being out there is going to make a difference how the ball is being moved around, whose hands you really want the ball in early in games to get efficient scoring. It's not Josh Hart.
No, I get you. Here is the Scott Steiner promo that has led to all the math discussions. You let me know when you're bored, because it's about a minute long, okay?
Go ahead.
Here he is, Scott Steiner, back in the old days.
See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning, because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one, and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at sacrifice. See, but I'm going to break it down for all you ladies. Would you rather be with me?
All right, that's enough.
He's going to talk about his freaks and peaks now.
You get
that's
it now?
That's great math, though.
Yeah. So if you take Mitchell Robinson's free throw, I can't even try. Edgar actually did a good job of trying that. Let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. How are we feeling, Lorenzo?
Well, if they go 2 for 5, if he goes 2 for 5 and Mitchell grabs 3 rebounds and gets 6 or 7 points on transitions, it's plus for the Knicks. So, you know, then we're in a tariff war with Boston and everything is thrown out the water. So I think that place stinks.
Yeah, but the tariffs will be taken off next week, so it's all good.
Reciprocal or not really. But anyway, Evan. Look, I'm going to pull out the Kenyon Martin ghost for the first pick tonight. I gave you the Kenyon Martin jersey. I was low-key trolling for a first-round pick because it's 25 years since we got him. What are you wearing tonight? I will wear the same outfit. I don't care. Whatever it takes.
I am wearing a black Brooklyn Nets t-shirt. The one thing I'm trying to figure out, Lorenzo, is the lottery starts at 7. There's a little bit of fluff, so figure it starts at about 7:10, 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
I am driving home. And the way I normally do things with sports is I DVR it. And I just pause it so I can go home.
But you can just listen to this and know.
I could, but I'm not going to do that.
Why?
Well, I am going to do that, but I can't drive. Because if I drive, I can be very easily distracted by looking at the logos of the envelopes coming up.
So you're just going to sit here?
No, I'm going to pull over on the hutch at about 7:07, assuming I'm on the hutch. I'm going to pull over onto the shoulder, and I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to watch.
Wow. You're sick.
I'm a loser.
There is a part of me that wants to continue driving, and here's why. One of my other great moments as a Net fan, even though it didn't work out, but in the moment it was great, was the Kevin Durant signing.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about Kevin Durant signing while listening to WFAN's Richard Neer driving on the hutch. So if I'm on the hutch, there could be good vibes.
Right. So just listen.
No. I'm going to pull over.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Out of the road. That's my plan.
Because you want to watch.
I need to watch it. Yeah, I can't listen to it. I can't have it be described.
And what happens if, as you're pulled over on the hutch, a state trooper approaches the car and interrupts the lottery there?
I'm going to tell him, hold on.
That'll go over well.
Yeah. Why would he stop me? I'm on the shoulder. I have an emergency.
Evan won't be in work tomorrow. He's been arrested, detained.
You can't just pull over on the shoulder.
Disorderly conduct.
Touching it is kind of fun. So where should I go? Should I just go to like a restaurant or something?
You know, I pull over to a parking lot somewhere.
Fair enough. I'll go to a gas station. Is that better?
Yeah, perfect.
All I know is I need to be in a safe place while watching the lottery. Now, real quick, we need to address a very important issue, which I was stunned by.
By the way, there is nowhere to pull over on the hutch.
Yeah, there is.
There's on the side?
Yeah, it's a shoulder. He's barely. You just get on the shoulder. So over the weekend, we as Met fans were greeted with shocking news. And this had nothing to do with the lineup. It had to do with a Francisco Lindor music change. As we all know, for the last year plus, he has come out to My Girl.
Yes.
And Met fans have sung along to My Girl. Even me. I'm not exactly a big singer. I'm not one to go nuts. But when I'm at Citi Field, every night that I am, I sing My Girl. And it's really, really cool to hear Met fans do such a thing.
That was pretty cool.
Very, very cool.
The game that I went to this year.
All of a sudden, Francisco Lindor decides, I'm going to change it up. And he has now instituted a second song that he's mixing in with My Girl. It is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which, of course, we all know from the hit Disney movie, Remember the Titans.
Oh, stop.
Well, isn't that where we came from?
No, but keep going.
Or Marvin Gaye.
I know it came before that, but honestly, for my generation,
of course,
that like literally took it from, oh, I've heard that song, to, oh, I've heard that song. And did you want to mock me about that? Because I'll set you up for trouble if you do. Go ahead.
Do I want to mock you for what now?
The Remember the
Stopping
Titans
at
thing.
A Stop and Shop to watch the lottery?
No, the Remember the Titans reference.
No, I love that movie.
Okay, good. Because Francisco Lindor referenced it as well as one of the reasons he loves the song. So he changes it from My Girl, which he'll still use in certain at-bats, into Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And this caused quite a ruffle amongst Met fans. How could you do this? What is he thinking? Let us hear from the captain of the New York Mets. Here's Francisco Lindor on his decision to make this change, starting with, why did you make this decision?
It's the vibes. The vibes I'm in right now. I think it's a fantastic song. Hopefully the fans can vibe to it too. I'm just, a couple of days ago, I just heard the song. I was like, man, this is it. And I told you guys I'm all about vibes, and that's the vibes right now. I didn't fully change it because I had some pushback for some people here, you know. So I had to, I'm a people pleaser, so I pleased the ones that pushed back on me. I think that song, it's a banger. So I'm sure fans are going to vibe to it too, hopefully.
What do you think of this, Teague?
I mean, it's different than My Girl because I feel like everybody knows the reason behind My Girl because obviously he's had a baby girl. But Ain't No Mountain High Enough is a fantastic song, Ashford and Simpson song, then Marvin Gaye, and then who did it last? Dinah Ross, I think. I think it was Dinah Ross. So they all made it hits, but it's like so far ago, long ago. I don't know.
You're concerned about the generational part of it?
Yeah.
Because my girl's from an old generation, too, though.
I know, but it feels like my girl is everywhere.
See, I look at both of those songs in terms of popularity from my age as both equally as popular. Like, I've heard of Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Yeah, I've heard My Girl. Like, I think they're both on that same level of...
But there's a movie called My Girl.
Yeah, right? Macaulay Culkin.
But
yeah.
I hate to defend, you know, the nervous one about the lottery. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and Remember the Titans is synonymous for a lot of people in our generation.
No, I agree, and that's why I said that.
It's funny, like, I don't remember it in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
They're singing together. It's about unity, harmony. Yeah, it was a big scene.
And Lindor cited it, too, by the way. Like, I'm not making that up. Mm-hmm. He did a longer interview about this. We only cut that part. And he's like, oh, yeah, remember the Titans. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's a big part of it. The thing that's weird, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, just go hit.
Yeah.
Is you have something that is so cool, everybody singing along to My Girl, and now you just took it away for half the game. Why mess with that?
So he does it in between
every other at bat. Yeah. So his first at bat will be My Girl.
Also, so what's the deeper story?
And the reason, as he just heard in this clip, that he didn't just cut out My Girl altogether was that there was pushback, and as he said, I'm a people pleaser. So
pushback
he was
from who?
From probably people in the organization. That's
about
what he said.
My Girl?
That's what did you want me to play the clip again?
No, I heard it, but
he said there was pushback, and that's why, and he's a people pleaser, which is why they're still doing it half the time.
Pushback, maybe it's like personal pushback?
I don't know. I took it as from like people around the franchise who are like, dude, it's such a cool thing. Why would you take that away?
We are all fans here. Fans can be stupid. And what I've learned above anything else, fans of anything don't like change. And they didn't want to deal with the nonsensical calls. I love My Girl. That's all I do is sing My Girl. People complain about nonsense. And doing this, people would complain to the Mets. I'm sure they get a million calls from ticket holders. You'd be shocked. How could Francisco Lindor take away My Girl? It's something I love doing.
No, but
my
remember, he's saying the pushback was before he even made the change. So it's probably people in the organization who said, hey, the My Girl thing's really cool. Why would you want to end it?
Right.
That's probably the pushback.
The pushback came when he decided to change the song.
Yeah.
I got it. But I'm asking why he decided to change the song.
He said the vibes. That was his answer. He says he's a vibe guy, and this song is, quote, a banger. That's what he said. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he wanted something new in his life. What's wrong with that?
I don't mind it by any stretch.
I think there's more to this story. There has to be.
Well, what is it?
I don't know.
Like, ain't no mountain high enough. Just means more to him or something. I don't know.
I don't know. His kids didn't like it.
Don't you ever wake up and just want to listen to a different song? Like, you're just in a different mood. Like, all right, I'm in the mood for rock today. I'm in the mood for this today. I'm in the mood for Broadway today. I'm in the mood for that today.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm kind of all DMB all the time, though.
All right. Well, good for you.
DMB, bring a hacky sack too.
I think in the case of Francisco Lindor, he wanted to change the song because he's just done with it. But Met fans aren't.
Why would he be done with it?
Because he's done with it. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. But Met fans are singing it so beautifully. Like, it is a very cool vibe at the ballpark to hear everybody, whether it's a Monday night or a Saturday night or a Friday afternoon. I got that one backwards. A Friday night or a Saturday afternoon singing My Girl, and now it's gone.
But Ain't No Mountain High Enough is a sing-along song.
Do you think it will be?
It is. Of course, that's the scene in Remember the Titans. They're all singing along in the locker
room. I'm not arguing about that. Do you think City Field will have that same vibe from that song?
Yes, especially if he goes from one to the other. I think it's got the vibes, 100%.
I don't know.
It's not that. What was that wretched song back in the day? Mojo. Oh, that was just awful.
But
anybody
that
sang along to
that. That's nothing. Oh,
my point is it's
just,
a more. No,
he's
it's
just
a,
trying to pick on
no,
something.
No, I'm saying
with me.
It's a morbid song.
Stick to
song.
The subject. You don't have to take a shot at me every 5 seconds.
This will end up.
It was a morbid song. This song is uplifting and sing along.
It is. Here's a little prediction. The Dodgers eventually in the postseason will be viewed as the mountain. This will be the sing-along and the rally cry for
right.
the Mets.
Oh, so you think the slogan for the Mets now is going to be Ain't No Mountain High Enough? I think you guys are both overthinking it.
I've learned a lot about Mets baseball. They will find a way to turn this into something. By the end of the year, Ain't No Mountain High Enough will be, you know, kind of a vision for what they got to climb to get to the World Series.
I don't know if I see that. I hope you're right, though, Tommy. Back to your point. Like, I hope people are singing along because that was a cool vibe.
Maybe it's about his wife.
You think so?
Yeah.
What's his wife? Is his wife creating a mountain for him to climb?
No, his wife's just saying, sing a song that's talking to me.
Oh.
They didn't start singing My Girl to start off with. It grew and it organically came about. So I think this one will have the same type of organic. And fans are like that.
He didn't request My Girl, right?
Yeah, he did. He did it when he had his daughter. That was his choice. Yeah.
I thought they just played it as a, like, hey, you just had a baby girl.
That was his call.
And then he kept it.
But to the point of, like, people singing along with it, it takes a while for that to happen, but it was every at-bat he'd come out to My Girl. This is every other at-bat. I don't know. I don't think it's actually going to vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to become a sing-along. I don't think it's going to be...
No mountain high enough.
Yeah.
Ain't no valley low enough.
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's actually going to be a sing-along, which is unfortunate. But you know what?
Well, because
hit 305 and driving runs, and I don't care.
Most people don't know the words after the chorus.
See? That's a part of it. Whatever the reason, I think unfortunately we lost a little bit of a vibe at City Field. Okay if he hits home runs.
Tommy, that was the Marvin Gaye version?
Yes, it was.
It's funny. You hear Tammy Terrell more than you hear Marvin Gaye.
You do.
Gaye. It's weird.
Which one does he come out to?
That one, probably.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
That's the most popular one.
Yeah. I was there yesterday, and that's what I thought I heard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Met fans, calm down. Just hit 350, and we'll all be happy. Let's go to Ryan in Westchester. Hey, Ryan.
Jay, so you were talking about Dave Sims having his return to his old team, but what about Gary Cohen tonight?
What about him? He's off tonight?
Bad joke. He was calling the game nationally yesterday,
yeah,
and
he
it
called
was impartial.
He called the Roku game, yeah. So I'm confused. What's your point?
I wanted to know what your thoughts were about it, and because I mean, I had very mixed feelings.
What were your mixed feelings about Gary Cohen calling the Roku game?
So okay, very happy. I was happy for him. Happy that people out there could see why we're always talking about how great he is,
mm-hmm.
And mainly just happy I didn't have to listen to anybody else.
Right.
But it was very uncomfortable listening to him call a Cubs home run, especially Pete Crow Armstrong.
I gotcha. Yeah, but you know what? Like, I get your... So I think what he's saying is Gary is the Met announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it was cool to have Gary Cohen calling a Roku game,
right,
as opposed to some random national announcer, he had to be partial. Kind of like we were talking about the whole Dave Sims thing.
I can see how that's disconcerting.
So hearing
him... It just
him,
doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit right with you.
But you know, if you're a Knicks fan, I bring this back to the Knicks. You're so used to it with Mike Breen. Think about it. Mike Breen is your guy. He's been your broadcaster for a million years. Like Gary Cohen, I think they're on that same level in terms of greatness. Well, Mike Breen calls national games all the time, and he calls national Knick games all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to deal with the same thing where Breen's getting excited for the opponent. Now, I admit, I didn't hear his broadcast. I was at the game on Sunday, which I love the early start time, Teague. Mm-hmm. They started the game at noon for Roku.
That's amazing.
Oh,
it's great.
If they could make that permanent, sign me up. But I would think a Cub fan would probably hate Gary Cohen calling the game.
But all
of a sudden, he's the announcer.
But if they don't know, then it just sounds like someone... If you know, you know, but...
But they took care of him because Joe Girardi, who was a former Cub, just waxed off for 9 innings about how wonderful the Cubs organization was in the playoff.
Oh, so that's how they balanced it out?
Yes, it was big. Girardi was big Cub fluff yesterday when I was watching the game.
I do like that idea, Teak. We've talked about that with national broadcasts. Get a guy from each side.
You have to, I mean,
put them together, and everybody's happy.
Right. It's easier said than done.
Yeah. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. 888-808-1019.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.